Hi guys, and welcome back to The Worst Sister Shire. We're the Worst Sisters. I'm Sadie.
I'm Suna.
I'm Arzum.
And here in the Shire, we have a motto. And the motto is, if attempted murder is a crime, then attempted comedy is a podcast. We're back this week with another episode of Shadeswood, where we're covering season 4, episode 21 of Pretty Little Liars. And this episode is very aptly named, She's Come Undone. Yeah, so in this episode, we're seeing the aftermath of what's happening with Aria mostly after the Ezra fiasco. So now Aria's learnt that Ezra has been in the loop the entire time, knows who everyone was, and was tied to Allison in a romantic way. And she's reeling from the revelation of all of this.
Yeah, so basically she finds out that he's been stalking them for 2 years to write a book.
Yeah. So the first thing we see here is that Arya's making this entire thing about her again. Like, I get she's the one that was most hard hit about Ezra, but, like, you can see her talking with the girls, and, like, this is creepy for all of them.
Yeah, but also I disagree because she has been the one who's been, like, kissing him, spending time with him, the one that got manipulated into giving him information.
And like she said to Hannah, you weren't the one sleeping with him. Like, I get that.
And also she's not the... They've all had to, like, go and deal with the fact that, like, she's had to come up to her family and talk about this and fight for him and all of that stuff that's happened beforehand. Like, she's definitely for once, actually the biggest victim.
Yeah. I feel like in this case she's justified to make it about herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I thought was selfish of her, though, was, like, when she was crying to them about, like, oh, all the secrets I told him about me, about Ali, about you guys.
I know.
I would have been like, why are you been telling him secrets about me?
I know, literally.
Yeah, so we see, like, Arya's just spiraling at this point. So she's decided not to come to school that day, but then decides to come anyway because she's super angry at Ezra.
Yeah, oh my God. I hate when she, like, storms into the classroom.
And there's, like, another teacher with a set of students in the classroom, and she's like, where's Ezra?
Yeah.
Like, mate, why are you pulling attention to yourself?
I know. My note literally says, Aria stormed the Capitol.
She literally did.
And, like, they tried to stop her. They tried to stop her, the other girls. Like, fair props to them.
And this is where I disagree. So this was a theme through, like, the whole episode, basically, when Aria tried to talk to people a few times and she got stopped because they were like, think about it before you do anything. I feel like, just fucking let her. He deserves to go to jail. Just let her.
Yeah, but what Hannah was saying to her is that it's not just going to be him that's affected. It's going to be her as well.
No, like,
it's
going to
be her name, her papers.
No, it isn't.
We'll talk about it when we get there. So, like, Aria, like, literally stormed the Capitol, stormed into the classroom, and she's like, where's Ezra? Where's this? Where's that? Obviously, he didn't go to school that day. He didn't go to work that day. So she left feeling dejected.
But my issue is that she's like, oh, my God. So he's, I don't know what she says, something and a coward. And I'm like, you didn't want to go to school that day either, bitch. Like,
also, what did she think was going to happen? Like, if she had found Ezra in that classroom, what was she going to say to him in front of, like, 30 kids?
That you're a pedophile? You used and abused me?
Her skull jumper was cute, though.
It was very cute.
It was. Yeah, so anyway, she decides that she's now going to go to his apartment, which is what she should have done in the first place. To start searching for clues in that. And she finds, like, these boxes and these folders hidden in the cabinets. And she's taking them all out. And instead of, like, taking the boxes straight to the police, because that's incriminating evidence.
Or even just taking them so she can look at them in her own time or go through them with the girls to find out what he has.
She just decides that she's going to chuck a massive hissy fit and just throw everything around. She picked up her own file and then she picked up, like, a little notebook that he had. And that's it. She just went mental.
And can I point out, her file was only file number 6. She wasn't even file number 1.
I know.
Like, she dated him. At least make her file number 1.
I know, literally. Also, my other thing is, like, you literally have all of, like, these pieces and missing information and things like that in, like, a timeline of things that have happened. Why are you throwing them all over the place? You're never going to get a better gift in your life.
Because we won't get another 3 seasons if she bothers to read all of it.
I know.
But yeah, like, she's gone on such a rampage too, though, that she's just, like, breaking everything in the room. And she sees a photo of her and Ezra in a cabinet. and the cabinet is open, but instead of just opening the door, she smashes it to get the photo out.
Yeah, I know.
And then the door swinging open after it.
Did you guys notice that when she pulled that poster off the wall, there was a door behind it and not a wall?
Was there? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But
I feel like she would have noticed the door.
I'm pretty sure I saw a door.
I don't think there was a door. Because the poster wasn't full length either. So if there was a door there, you would have seen it either way. Like, it's not like the poster could have been hiding.
It looked like a door to me.
Okay, write to us, everyone listening here. Was there a door behind the poster? # poster door. Yeah, anyway, go on.
Anyway, so she's like, she's on this rampage. She's breaking things. She's throwing things. She's like getting all the evidence that you could have never hoped to have gotten. Like, that's all the evidence and all the information from his lair has fallen into your lap. And you've just squandered it away. So she ends up, like, sitting in the corner and crying. And that's when the girls go find her.
Yeah.
So the girls walk in and they're all like, oh, poor Aria, let's pick her up and take her out, whatever. And Spencer's the only sane one who's going through, like, withdrawals at the minute. So she's not herself.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that's like, there's so much information here. Like, I get your friend is upset, but, like, the thing that you've been chasing for 2+ years is right there.
I know. I was going to say, it only takes one of you to walk Aria out. The rest of you snoop.
Not even snoop. Shove everything back into the boxes.
Not only that, but Emily was like, oh, it's nothing we haven't seen. It's everything you haven't seen. Did you see how much stuff there was?
I know.
There's files on everyone and the pizza boy. Like, take it. See what's inside. Maybe the information he had mixed with the information that you guys have could actually lead you somewhere. Like, I get it, it was traumatic, but if you're going to be, like, waging war and looking for revenge, this is how you do it.
So the other thing that we forgot to mention, though, which was really interesting to me about this whole thing, is when Aria is telling the girls about the book, so she's, like, debriefing them at the beginning of the episode, yeah. And she's telling them about the book that he's written, they immediately jump to, oh, he must be A, but Aria defended him much like the way Sadie did at the end of the last episode, and she says he can't be A because he was trying to figure out who A is. Or who killed Allie anyway, if we're assuming that A and the killer are the same person. And the one thing that was interesting about Ezra's book is that he's running with a theory that he thinks one of the girls killed Allison.
Yeah.
But she didn't get far enough to find out who. So that's really interesting. And now I really want to read this book.
I know.
Yeah. That's the Aria fiasco. And then she's like, her friends are like trying to lift up her spirits, trying to comfort her, trying to be there for her, and she's acting like such a bitch.
As opposed to the other girls who, while going through a more normal breakup, have reacted really well to everything.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like I don't have time for Aria drama.
No, I honestly feel like for the first time in her life she's justified for the way she's acting. I only wish she had followed through and told on him.
Yeah, I know, me too.
That's my one regret for this episode.
Yeah, so Spencer's managed to get her hands on some of the papers as Aria and Hannah and Emily were leaving Fitz's apartment. Spencer did manage to scoop up some bits and pieces and shove them in her bag.
Yeah, just random shit, whatever was there.
Literally. Better than nothing, though, to be fair.
So Spencer takes that back home and she starts sifting through what she's picked up. And what she's got is some good stuff. So she's got like a random page from a notebook or like, I don't know, notes, I guess. And she's got a card for a private eye. And on the back of the card, it says, private eye who tailed Spencer.
Question mark.
Can we take a break here to go back to what happened to Spencer in the lead up to this, though?
Yes.
So Spencer, as we know, has been struggling with her pill addiction, and her mum found out at the end of the last episode. So this episode, she wakes up, she walks downstairs, and her parents are like, all right, off to rehab with you. But there's like her packed bags right there. So I'm wondering, at what stage did they pack her bags? Did they sneak into her room while she was sleeping? Do they have these bags on the go just in case she has another breakdown? Like, what's the go with how they packed her bags to send her off to rehab?
My theory is they packed Melissa's clothes so she'll be more like Melissa.
Yes.
Can I just say something? Right. So I was going to bring this up later, But I feel like it's apt to bring it up now.
Yeah.
Spencer's like, oh, Melissa's a good one. Melissa's a good one. They always like Melissa more. But having looked at Spencer's track record, this is her second stint with the same drugs. Like, Melissa hasn't done anything like this.
Yeah.
Like, Spencer is the problem child, and she's acting like she isn't.
Yeah, because Melissa was mad at her for stealing her boyfriend.
Like, looking at this as a parent's point of view, Spencer is a problem child.
Agreed.
They've dealt with more Spencer drama than that, and I don't understand why Spencer's like, oh, Melissa's perfect, because she hasn't done the same shit. Like, no one's saying Melissa's perfect, but she hasn't done the same stuff that Spencer has. Her parents don't need to worry if Melissa's on drugs again or not, or if she's murdered someone. Like, the worst thing they've got to worry about Melissa is what? Nothing?
Is her boyfriend gonna date a teenage girl
again?
Yeah.
Again, for the third time.
So I feel like Spencer's, like, Melissa hate is unjustified.
Yeah. No, I agree. She just hates Melissa for no reason.
Hates Melissa for being mad that she kissed Melissa's boyfriend.
And, like, literally stole her assignments and everything. She just wants to wear Melissa's skin and become Melissa.
She's mad that Melissa got into Penn.
I know.
And, like, did you hear? Like, so her parents were trying to get her to go to rehab, right? And she was like, but I can't. If I have Radley and rehab, no one will take me in.
So what you're saying is they tried to make her go to rehab and she said no. That was so good. If I do so myself.
But yeah, so she convinces her parents that she doesn't need to go to rehab, and they've let her stay at home under some rules that she's going to be taking the withdrawal medication and she's going to be, you know, whatever the other rules were, but she's just going to get her shit together and they're going to watch her.
Yeah.
But lucky Spencer, because she got both parents.
They did. The budget was high this episode.
It's because they saved all that money by having the stagehands not talk.
Also convenient that while Aria's in her, like, depression girl era, that Byron is nowhere to be seen.
I know.
Or Mike. He's too busy being on one date one time to see all of this happening.
But yeah, these girls are, like, literally going mental one by one. They're falling like flies.
I know.
Everyone's having a meltdown. But yeah, so, and then when she gets to school, she finds some pills in her locker and they're from A. I forget what the A note said, but it was like, don't say I don't give you anything or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's got some pills there from A. And Emily intercepts her. So this scene really annoyed me because she looks at the pills. Emily's like, oh, hey, what you got there? And she's like, a gift from A. And she shows Emily. Okay, so now you know that Spencer has a drug problem. What do they decide to do? Emily's like, oh, okay, I'll get rid of them for you. And she's like, no, I better, because I want to throw these really far away.
Lol, I know. So
but like Emily's on her way, like an hour out of town.
Yeah, but still, Emily's not the one that's addicted to them. Who is it safer with?
It's safer with Emily. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's on her, like, if you want to throw it far away, Emily's about to make a trek an hour out of town.
No, I get it. Yeah, you're agreeing with me. So, like, they're just, like, in a split second, they're like, no, this makes sense. Let's leave the pills with the drug addict who's trying to quit. That makes perfect sense.
That's what I would do.
What makes even less sense is, later on, she actually takes those pills. Like, why would you trust A? How do you know what pills they are? Maybe they're going to kill you. Maybe it's cyanide.
They literally could be poison. You don't know. But yeah, that's where we the storylines merge again. So we're back to the scene where she just found the card. And then she takes the pills after that.
So she finds a card and she finds a bit of paper saying that Cece and Ali's mum had seen Spencer arguing with Allison the night of the murder. And she had a shovel in her hand. Now, I don't know if they said that she had a shovel in her hand or if Spencer was remembering this or maybe hallucinating this, because she had taken the pills at this point.
I'm assuming it was part of the description.
Mm.
Just like Toby's do-rag. Because how did they know about the do-rag? I don't know. It must have been described.
Well, honestly, to be fair, if you saw do-rag Toby out in the wild, would you not write about it?
I forgot about that one.
Never forget.
Yeah, so she has like a little flashback to the night of Allison's disappearance. So we know it's the night of Allison's murder because she's in that yellow dress again. So Spencer's like, Ali's coming around the corner and then Spencer follows her, grabs a shovel, and they're arguing back and forth. And apparently this was witnessed by Cece and Allison's mum. But they were paid off to not say anything to anyone. Allison's mum paid Cece off to not say anything to anyone. So Spencer's like putting this together with what Arya said about maybe one of the girls hurt Allison. Now, this was a period in Spencer's life where she was on the pills again. Anyway, so Spencer takes this a little bit further and she decides that she's going to confront her dad about it. So she takes the card that she found and she goes to her dad in the kitchen and asks him flat out, was that money that was going to the private investigator really for Melissa, or were they stalking me? Do you think that I had something to do with the murder? And she's put her dad on the spot. And while he's trying to sort of like calm her down, Toby comes in and the dad sends him off for a walk. He's like, go take a walk, take a breath, and then come back and we'll discuss it. Mm-hmm. So Toby ends up taking a reluctant Spencer out for a walk, but Spencer ditches him. So Toby comes back home and he's got no Spencer. Spencer has taken this time though. Spencer's taking this time to go to the De Laurentiis house and talk to Allison's mum. I keep forgetting.
Talk to? You mean yell at her in the night?
Yeah.
And then grab her by the arm and like get physical.
Yeah.
Like she's got this deranged teenager. She's like, I'm calling your father. And then she just kicks her out the house.
Yeah. Because Spencer's like, do you think I murdered your daughter? Well, do ya? Do ya?
I know, literally.
Exactly that scene. And so she's like going mental at Allison's mum, and Allison's mum's like kicks her out the house. So she walks back home dejectedly, and she's met with like Toby, her mum, and her dad.
All three of her parents.
Yeah, I know.
He does look like a parent, doesn't he?
Yeah.
This new haircut that he's got going for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wasn't loving the Toby haircut,
but it's better than emo season one Toby hair.
Nothing beats noir Toby. That was a good Toby.
Yeah, she basically just ignores them and goes up to her bed.
Yeah.
I know. Imagine that ever working on anyone who's actually a parent. Like, your kid comes back after probably doing drugs and screaming at your neighbors, and you're just going to let her walk upstairs without saying anything.
Like, no, where were you? What were you doing? Or, no, we tried this your way. Now it's going to be our way. Nothing.
It's because she's come undone.
They both have. I feel like we're about to hit like a new era for Arya. I think we're about to see like an emo Arya come up as well. Like, I feel like in the next couple of episodes, we're going to see like a giant makeover and she's just going to be all in black.
The old Arya can't come to the phone right now.
Why?
She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. Arya's version. You know what? That would be such a good like sequel type thing. Ezra releases his book and she releases Arya's version.
That would be so good.
Where he's a big creep the whole time.
I would read the shit out of both of those.
I know, literally. We need to do, like, Pretty Little Liars marketing, honestly.
So, on the side of, like, what's going on with Spencer and Arya, you've also got Emily, who's just been phoned up by Shana to bring the cash to a specific PO box on that day, right?
Yeah, because Allison still needs the money.
And Shana's in, like, Connecticut or something now.
So, anyway, Emily's got this money. And she's got it all in cash, all in her bag, and Paige sees it. Now, I had forgotten about Paige. I don't know about you guys, but I forgot that Paige existed. So when she was sitting at school and Emily walks by her, and she's like, oh, I thought I wouldn't see you again till graduation. I thought they were just friends.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were still together.
Yeah, no, they're still dating, but they did have an on-again, off-again type deal, will-they-won't-they type deal.
And now they're back to a will.
But yeah, but Emily is just, like, full-on lying to Paige about everything. So yeah. Paige, first of all, is like, oh, yeah, I heard Arya had a mental breakdown. And she's like, yeah, she's having some issues with her parents right now.
Yeah, no.
Apparently the whole school was talking about this. Who's believing that it's her parents when she's like, where's Ezra?
Literally.
And also everyone knows that she was with him.
Yeah, I know. Because they went to parties together and shit and they like kissed in public and stuff.
Exactly. Does this school have the shortest like long-term memory in the world? Like collective memory just disappears.
Yeah, it's like the Mandela effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, so she's lying to Paige about the cash and she's like, oh, my grandma sent me a late birthday present and my grandma doesn't like banks and she keeps it in cookie and coffee tins and blah, blah, blah. And obviously Paige is like not believing this. So after school, Emily goes to the place that she was supposed to go to drop off this money. See, this is where it gets funny as well. This envelope of cash that she's got is supposed to be delivered to a PO box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before a certain time that day. So she's driven out and instead of going and putting it into a PO box, she's standing there at like a bead mailing place.
Yeah, to get it to the P.O. box.
Yeah, but she said she was going to drive out there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Spencer was like, oh, that's an hour's drive. I agree with Sadie. This whole thing was a little bit weird about why she went to where she went.
And then the next scene, I don't know where she is, but, like, she's at this mailing place and she's got on the address, like, where it's supposed to go and how it's supposed to be titled and whatever. And she's standing in line to drop it off to the mail place. Now, if you have a P.O. box, then you just go and you shove it through the slot.
But anyway, she's there and Paige walks in and Paige is like causing a scene in the place and Emily's like, can we talk about this somewhere else?
Yeah. She's like, what happens to your nana not trusting banks in the middle of like this thing, like making it very well known that she's about to post like a lot of money into an envelope.
Not only that, right, Paige comes in when she's like second or third in line and she tells Paige, let's talk about it outside. Just wait 5 seconds, post your shit and then go talk outside.
No, because Paige was causing a scene, so they had to go outside first.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, in a plot twist, Emily decides to tell the truth. So
yeah,
she tells Paige about Allie and what she was doing with the money. And Paige is just like straight up spitting truths about Allie at this stage. She's like, do you remember how Allie like tortured everyone for like ages and she's a terrible person? Why are you helping her?
Yeah.
And Emily's like, no, she's like really different now. And Paige is like, of course she's telling you that. She's manipulating you. That's what she does.
Yeah.
And Emily's like, nah, it's like, it's different. It's different.
You wouldn't get it. You weren't there.
You wouldn't get it. Like, she's real different now. She was manipulating me before, but not now.
No, not now. She would never.
Yeah. So they basically talk it out about what's going to happen next. And Paige basically tells her, like, I'm going to go tell the cops. And she's like, no, don't. Because if you do, then you're going to be handing Allie to A on a silver platter. But this is where the logic falls apart for me, because at this stage, they know Allie's alive and they know that A knows that Allie is alive. How is telling anyone going to put her more in A's way?
Maybe they think A is on the police force.
Tell her parents. Tell your parents. Tell the school.
The minute they knew that Allie was alive, they could have just gone to the police and be like, Allie is alive. She's scared of someone, something. Go help her.
I feel like there's literally like they're not handing Allie to A by telling someone because A already knows about her.
Yeah, A already knows Allie is alive. And isn't there like the whole potential that A already got to Allie and stuff?
Yeah. Exactly. So this whole thing doesn't make sense. But anyway, they decide to agree that Paige isn't going to tell, but she wants Emily to stop doing any Allie shit after this. She's like, Emily's like, I have to post this thing. And she's like, fine, you can do this. But from now on, no more Allie shenanigans. Like, you just sit at home and do your homework, girl. Like, don't worry about
literally.
It.
Yeah, literally.
And so Emily's like, yeah, okay, fine. Let's do that. But their relationship kind of like starts to turn a little bit sour. You can see that Emily's not really into it. She tells her that she doesn't like being given an ultimatum. And Paige is like, neither do I. But that's where we leave it. And then after that, Paige still decides to leave a tip off in a cop car to say, I know for a fact Allison is alive. Here's a P.O. box that you can start looking at, basically.
I know.
And so I guess the police have been tipped off now that Allie is alive.
I just remembered that Emily was mailing that thing to Shana or whoever as AD Incorporated or something. And Paige
AD
was like,
Industries.
Yeah, AD Industries. And Paige was like, what could that be? What is that? Emily!
Okay, but like Paige is an idiot because she slotted this piece of paper into an envelope and shoved that into like a police cruiser. Okay. Yeah. But the first thing the cops are going to do as soon as that someone opens that envelope is look for fingerprint.
Yeah.
Like, what if they find her and start questioning? Like, she's trying to give an anonymous tip.
They shouldn't, though, because she wouldn't be recorded anywhere. She hasn't, as far as we know, she doesn't have a criminal history.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to compare it against.
So if she stays out of jail, she's fine.
Exactly.
I guess.
While we're on the topic, though, when we were kids, did any of you get, like, the police come to your school to do a show and tell and, like, show you guys how fingerprints and stuff are done?
No.
Yes. It happened to me twice.
Oh, wow. Anyway, it happened to me once. So, sorry, Sadie's upstaging me. But it happened to me once. And I was like, oh, yeah, it was, like, really cool. Got to learn all this stuff. They told us about how they do their job, how they find evidence. And they taught us, like, how fingerprints are taken. And we all actually had a turn at doing fingerprints. We did our thumbs in the ink and did it. And when I was telling my parents, Mum was like, yeah, they were fingerprinting everyone so they could put future criminals on the record. I don't know whether that's true or not.
And I feel like had they done that, that's such a good way to a good way to start a database.
But it's also like such an invasion of basic, you know, rights to privacy.
Maybe our parents agreed. I don't know. I didn't have the right to sign for myself at that stage. I was underage.
Well, it's not like your fingerprints are going to change.
Just start making chain mail. When people who like make chain mail for a living, their fingerprints just get rubbed off over time.
Yeah.
Yes, I read about this on the Lord of the Rings ones.
Yeah, when they were making it for the movie, I think that's where I read it too. So if you want to be a criminal, make a bunch of chain mail first and wipe up your fingerprints.
Or just wear gloves.
But I don't know if that's true or not, that whole thing about they took my fingerprints at school to put on the record. But if they did, and they also did that to Paige, then maybe she was on the record. Yeah, I don't think that they did, though. Like, I don't think that's a thing that happened.
No, I think that's just a conspiracy theory of a mother.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, too. I think it's a conspiracy theory.
And throw you did.
Also, for some reason, they made me stand next to these the striped wall that had heights on it.
Did they make you look into a camera holding a piece of paper?
Yeah, I was holding a piece of paper. There was like, I had like, what is it? I was about to say cufflinks.
Handcuffs? What?
Handcuffs. Yeah, I had handcuffs.
I had cufflinks on. It was a real fancy affair.
Yeah, I was a fancy kid. Anyway, is that all we want to say about Paige?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's everything.
The other storyline we didn't talk about yet is Hannah and Travis.
Yeah, ill.
Okay, first of all, I have to start this off with, I'm going to let you guys finish, but that jumpsuit that Hannah was wearing was so ugly.
It was so ugly, correct?
Oh my God, it looks like she just fell in like spilt paint. There was no rhyme or reason. Why did they do her like this?
They made Spencer ugly last time. Now they have to make Hannah ugly.
Yeah, this is literally my note. Hannah and Travis, full stop. Her jumpsuit is ugly, full stop. He's going to court, full stop.
The important things, you know? So why don't you tell us a bit more about why he's going to court?
Yeah, so Hannah runs into Travis at school while he's wearing a full suit and she's dressed ugly as hell.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, do you have an interview after school? And he's like, not exactly. I'm going to court. And she finds out that it's because his dad is getting trialed or something for taking money from Wilden to do dodgy shit, basically.
No, he was paying Wilden to send business his way.
No, I think there was some more stuff to it. I think it was the other way around.
No, I think it was he was paying Wilden to send money, send business his way. And then when he tried to stop, Wilden kind of said, no, you don't have a choice.
I'm going to rewatch that bit because that's not what I understood. What did you understand, Sadie? Who was paying who to do what?
I understood that there's money in this guy's bank account from Wilden.
Yeah, so what happened was they went into Wilden's safety deposit box and they tracked the money in that back to Travis's dad.
Cash money?
Yes, cash money.
How did they track cash money back to him?
His dad is a criminal, or was it, I went to school there.
How can they track cash money back to him? Because, like,
maybe he left notes that said, from Travis's dad for this crime.
Well, that's the only explanation that I have then. To sum up for our audience, someone gave money to someone for dodgy dealings.
About something, and two of those people involved were Wilden and Travis's dad.
Okay, so what I don't understand is what this has to do with Travis's testimony.
He's going to go there and be like, my father's a real good father.
Yeah, basically. It probably is just a character thing.
Not that. He gave a testimony for Hannah's case that got her mum off the murder charges, right? Yeah. Well, what's that got to do with the price of eggs when it comes to Travis's dad and Wilden?
Well, that's what I'm saying, because Ashley was accused of killing Wilden. Wilden was blackmailing his dad to keep paying him money to bring more business his way, and he thinks he made that connection and said that about Hannah's family to get his dad off the hook and get Wilden sent away, or to get, like, Hannah off the hook for taking care of it, basically.
I don't know. I'm confused, but like, let's just say one drew attention to the other. Let's just say that. So now he has to go testify in his dad's case. But Hannah's like, nah, that ain't right. Because you're only in trouble because he helped me.
You chose my family instead of yours.
Yeah, and he's like, look, I made my choice and I'll do it again. So like, yeah, too bad, Dad. You can go to jail because like this girl smiles real pretty.
Also, she puts music on for us to make out.
Yeah, exactly. Next to her pool table in her entryway.
Yeah.
So then Hannah goes off to her BFF Gabe.
AKA Holbrook.
Yeah, Gabe Holbrook. And she's like, oh, by the way, like Travis's dad is innocent. I know this. And that they talk about it for a little while. And then he's like, yeah, whatever. And he leaves.
Yeah, exactly. He says, yeah, whatever. Bye.
He says, my job is to give the facts, not my opinion. And he leaves.
Because Hannah was like, can't you just tell them that Wilden was like a real not nice guy?
Yeah, exactly. He was real mean. And yeah, so then Hannah goes off to the courthouse to support Travis. So she's waiting outside. He comes out and then Gabe comes out after him, and him and Travis smile at each other and he walks off. And we find out that apparently Gabe had a change of heart and did highlight that.
That Wilden was mean.
Yeah, this was Travis's dad's first offense and Wilden was in fact mean.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he, instead of getting jail time, he's on parole or something.
Basically, Gabe decided that his job was in fact to give his opinion and not the
facts. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and then she runs into him in the brew. Yeah, and she's like, oh, by the way, I was going to come to your office tomorrow and thank you for doing that anyway. And he's like, I don't remember what he says, but he's like, yeah, no worries, just like doing my job, basically.
Don't worry about little darling, basically.
And he's like, she was getting like food for Aria at that time. So she's like, I love how you care about your friends. Like, never lose that.
I know, gross.
And then she says back to him like, oh, you're a real good guy. Don't lose that or something.
Yeah.
Then we have yet another accidental kiss on this show.
Ugh.
But like, Holbrook's reaction to the kiss was amazing because he was like,
yeah.
Not like not like a good shocked, but like a shocked Pikachu. He's like, Hannah, what are you doing?
And immediately starts like looking around as well.
So she's like, sorry, 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 runs away.
Sorry, I'm used to like other pedophiles hitting on me.
Exactly. I think that's everything for Hannah as well.
That's everything for everyone.
There is one thing we forgot to mention, and that is while Aria was sitting there looking sad all by herself because Hannah was going out to buy them food because she was okay to be alone for 10 minutes.
She was not.
She was flipping through Ezra's notebook again, and this time she finds a letter. And it's a letter from a potential publisher about his book and being like, oh, we so love seeing this, can't wait for the next installment. And she's like, WTF, is he publishing this book? So she thinks real quick and she calls the publisher and she's like, oh, I'm from Ezra's school and we just found out about his book. We want to know if there's a publication date so we can celebrate for him. So we find out where Ezra's been because he's been missing. He wasn't at school. He was actually in New York meeting the publisher. And she's like, well, not yet, but she's in there meeting Anna right now. They're probably setting a date. And if you call back tomorrow, I'll let you know. And this is when Aria goes on another rampage and she's like running through the streets to the principal's house, who she conveniently knows where he lives, because she was going to tell him. And Hannah stops her and says,
think about what you're doing.
Think about what you're doing. This is going to affect you as well, blah, 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 blah. Cool. Well, there you go. Was there anything else in the show that we haven't covered already?
Don't think so.
The only other thing that I didn't mention, actually, is when Aria's giving the girls a debrief about what they found in the book, Emily, I think it was, raised a really good point, which is like, so if he's sitting there watching us all this time, he knows about A then, and he just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And then while she's flipping through the book, she did see mentions of A.
Yeah.
Also, remember, like, in season one or something, when he's freaking out when he's like, well, if A knows, then B and C also knows. Do you think he, like, pre-wrote that joke? Do you think she would laugh?
Yeah, exactly. That's his pre-written dad joke. And the other thing that we see, speaking of that, is that A starts potentially burning Ezra's notes. A has Ezra's notes. A has a fire. A approaches the fire. We don't see them burning.
Yeah.
And that's the episode.
Slay. Yeah.
This is a good episode. Like, I finally feel like we're getting somewhere at this point.
You say this, like, every other episode.
She literally does.
Do you guys have any worst sister stories this week?
So, the other week, actually, sorry, just for context, for Christmas, Suna got me and my partner tickets to go see the orchestra version of Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 1. and my partner was away, so he couldn't go, and I ended up taking my partner's aunt to go with me. You know, I asked if she wanted to go. She said yes. She sounded excited and everything. But I didn't realize until, like, after we got there that she hadn't even seen all of the Harry Potter movies. Like, she hasn't even, like, read them. She's not a big Harry Potter fan. She just said yes to going.
That's adorable, though.
And so I thought I gave, like, a pretty good, like, quick summary, like a quick 10-minute summary of everything that happens from number one until number seven of the movies, nodding along like, okay, yep, got it, whatever. And then the show starts and we're at like this intermission, the halfway point. And I turn around to my partner's aunt and I say, oh, like, is it making sense? Like everything, like I mentioned, like, are you following along? And she just like smiles and is like, no. And I was like, oh, do you have like any questions? And she's like, I have a lot, but I think I need to go back and watch all of them. But I do have one. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. What is it? And she like points to someone on the screen. She's like, who's that? And it's literally Ron Weasley. Afterwards, she was like, oh, there are all these people here in like matching outfits. And I was like, oh, yeah, those are the Hogwarts robes. And she's like, oh, but they're in different colors. I'm like, yeah, that's the different houses and things like that. And she was like, what house do you think I'm in? And I think that she's a Hufflepuff based on the fact that she was just like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I'll come see this thing with you because, you know, I'm nice and I have nothing else to do. Like, of course, I'll come with you. That was my theory that she's a Hufflepuff.
She's cute. I like her.
She really enjoyed it and she said she was going to watch all of the rest. And then if part two comes out, we should go see it together. So,
adorable.
Nice. But I will also say one more thing. On my way to the show, I had like left my house a little bit early and I got this massive like grocery delivery that wasn't mine. Mm. And as I'm waiting for like my partner's aunt to come pick me up, I'm like running around through my complex going door to door knocking, being like, did you order groceries? Did you order groceries? Did you order groceries? And I'm just like meeting every single one of my neighbors for the first time in 2 years. No one took it. And then I really rushed in trying to get all of like the ice cream and frozen things back into my freezer and I took possession of them.
And then she acts like it's such an imposition. She calls me and she's like, oh, so I got this grocery delivery. Like, should I just keep it? Like, what do I do with it? I'm like, yeah, like you try. Just put it in your fridge and like just keep it. See how you go. And then she's like, okay, fine. I guess I'll have to have avocado toast.
Because I was like, knowing my luck, the second I like give up on trying to find the owner of these avocados, someone's gonna knock on my door and be like, I think you got my grocery delivery yesterday by mistake,
and be like, not me.
As I'm smacking my lips full of avocado.
Thanks guys for listening in on another episode of Shades Woods. Join us next week for another episode. If you guys have any thoughts, comments, or ideas on what we should cover next, please let us know on our socials. We are at Worst Sister Shire on all the regular socials, which is Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and TikTok. And we are at Sister Worst on Twitter/X. Or you can shoot us an email at worstsistershire@gmail.com. Shall I count us out with a hadabum? 3, 2, 1.
Hadabum.